All right, what is up, guys? Welcome to Buddha. No, not Buddha. Buddha loves us. Socrates and Lao Tzu probably hate us. Ancient wisdom for a dumb world. My name is Joey. I am a lazy, or I was a lazy philosophy major that never really took philosophy seriously, never really found it any fun. And now, about 3 years later, since graduating with a philosophy degree, I now find it fun. And now I'm doing this. Ain't that weird? And that said, today we'll be talking about Buddhism. I have been practicing Buddhism, specifically Zen Buddhism, for about a year now. It has honestly changed my life, and I would be doing it an injustice if I didn't include a series on the philosophy of Buddhism on the podcast. I'll be doing a lot of episodes on Buddhism, so think of this episode as somewhat, you know, a foundational episode on the history of the Buddha, his life, and how I plan to tackle Buddhism myself. Buddhism is the fourth largest religion in the world right now, behind Catholicism, Islam, and Hinduism, and right ahead of K-pop's BTS superfan group ARMY. Buddhism can be referred to as the group of traditions, beliefs, and actual practices that are all based on the philosophy and teachings of the Buddha. So, though there are many variations in the Buddha story, and I'm sure you've heard this story at one point or another, the gist of the origin of Buddhism is that a young Buddha named Siddhartha Gautama, prince and local rich boy in India, born to the warrior caste in a very caste-separated India, he decided to throw all those riches away in search of enlightenment. That said, I'll be diving deeper into his story as it says a lot about what I believe Buddhism is all about. So let's go. Alright, so, Siddhartha Gautama had all the riches anyone could want. All the food he could eat. Heck, he probably had a McDonald's in his own home like Richie Rich from the movie Richie Rich in 1994, featuring the kid from Home Alone. He materially had everything. Wealth, check. Servants, check. PS5, he had 10 of them. He had everything, but still it left him unsatisfied. So, because of that, he left his fancy castle and went out to see the world looking for deeper meanings in the forests and mountains of the area. So, you know how Europeans and Americans like to backpack across Asia to find themselves? It's something like that, but warranted, because he actually lived in Asia. No, you're not going to see him sitting on the sidewalk asking you to pay for his backpacking adventures through Thailand so he can meet a wife 30 years younger than him. The Buddha felt some sort of disconnect with reality when he lived a life of wealth, and he wanted to re-establish that connection, or rather establish it. In going out into the world, he saw the reality of it all. He saw 5 things while he was out there that made him realize that the world was full of suffering and death. One of them was an old person, and a sick person, a corpse being carried off, a monk meditating, and season 8 of Game of Thrones. That's right, we haven't forgotten. Bran Stark. Fucking Bran Stark. Because of everything he saw, he abandoned all his riches. He even abandoned his familial relations and responsibilities to his wife and son just to get closer to enlightenment, so he could focus on enlightenment. Funnily enough, his son and wife supposedly ended up being followers of Buddhism too. So that's right, guys. If you leave your children behind, at least create your own religion. That way, they can follow your religion so that they can fix the abandonment issues that you give them by leaving them. Big brain moves. Patrick Goodness, a professional lecturer with a PhD in ancient cultures and mythologies, makes an interesting point in comparing the Buddha's abandonment with that of a Catholic priest not being allowed to have a family. It's so that the Buddha and the Catholic priest can focus on finding enlightenment and getting closer to God respectively. So, you know, both are barred from starting families, but it is only the latter that is barred from any direct contact with children. As Siddhartha ventured into the world, he couldn't find what he was looking for despite learning from the wisest men in the land, and starving himself by practicing the then somewhat popular practice of asceticism, which he really did find to be too severe and unnecessary. Asceticism is an extreme version of the keto diet, or any diet, for that matter, because it literally starves you from any indulgence, probably just enough to keep you alive. Breakfast? Nope, just a carrot. Lunch? Oh boy, a grain of rice. Dinner? A BTS McDonald's meal? No thanks, that's a little bit too much for an ascetic. And Buddha liked Blackpink more anyways. So Siddhartha lived his life as a rich man and felt empty. He decided to live with nothing, almost nothing, and still felt empty. So he tried balancing both, and this is called the middle way. So he sat underneath the Bodhi tree, engaging in a very deep meditation, meditating about himself and the whole universe around him. And after days and days of doing so, 40 in fact, he reached enlightenment. And through enlightenment, he stopped feeling the effects of any craving or delusion like anger, lust, depression, and anxiety, to name a few. And from then on, he became the Buddha, which is translated to the Enlightened One. That said, this leads me to the next part of my podcast. I will now try and describe through what lens I will be trying to tackle and explain Buddhism. One of the reasons I personally adhere to Buddhism is because Buddhism isn't an. Well, that was a mouthful. One of the reasons I adhere to Buddhism personally is because Buddhism is an escape from the worst parts of our human nature. As I said, through meditation and enlightenment, the Buddha was no longer able to feel the effects of any craving or delusion, like anger, lust, depression, and anxiety. But, just note that this doesn't mean he no longer felt any of those feelings. Again, he just no longer felt the effects. To expound on that, just note that humans are emotional creatures, and these feelings are entirely natural. The common misconception in Buddhism and other philosophies that concern themselves with feelings, such as Stoicism, is that, we think that we have to suppress and do away with our feelings to be good Buddhists or Stoics. That is utterly false because both philosophies acknowledge that feelings, emotions, and desires are entirely natural. What matters is the decision of how you go about them and make sure they don't consume you. So, to the people of the Philippines who want to vote for Sara Duterte in the next elections, those feelings are valid. But should you? Should you? So, yeah, again, for the nth time, we have in us certain human desires that can be attributed as natural. And because of that, I'd like to bring up Robert Wright, author of Why Buddhism is True and other books on psychology and mindfulness. And this guy, Robert Wright, he lists three reasons in his book on why our disposition to be fooled by our feelings exists. So number one, he says, our feelings weren't designed to depict reality accurately even in our natural environment. He says that feelings were designed to help humans get our genes into the next generation of humans. This is part of our human nature to reproduce, or to want to reproduce and preserve the human species. That fear to preserve ourselves brings forth the illusions within us. Robert Wright gives a very simple example. Why do we get scared when we see a stick on the ground and think it's a snake? Why do our fears of getting hurt persist even if the snake is not actually there? It's a stick. And our feelings, our fear makes us think that it's a snake. And it's valid because snakes can fucking rip or, well, depending on the size, it either rips your finger off or your whole leg. But I digress. So there are many such distortions and apprehensions in the world that we attribute not only to sticks on the ground that we think could be dangerous to us, but even to fellow human beings that our minds put labels on. Sometimes a friend will feel like an enemy to avoid once our feelings decide to label them as such. Anxiety and paranoia will label your friend who simply has just been too damn busy with their own work or life to talk to you, as, we label them as someone that might just not simply like you anymore, which is simply not the case. Or sometimes my girlfriend finds a TikTok getting her to ask me if I'd still be in a relationship with her if she was a caterpillar. Is she an actual caterpillar? No. If I said, why would I be in a relationship with you if you were a caterpillar? Would she still be hurt about it? Yes, because her feelings make her legitimately believe she could be a caterpillar when she is not. I hate TikTok. Now we move on to the second reason. Robert Wright says that it is the fact that we're not living in a natural environment, that makes our feelings even less reliable guides to reality. What do we mean by a natural environment? The former example about the snake and the stick are a little more realistic because there is an actual danger to you being presented by the idea of a snake because it could lower your chances of survival, of passing your genes to the next generation. Because snakes are icky and scary and could actually kill you. These days, in a less quote-unquote natural world, Our wants and cravings are much more able to fool us instead of guide us towards self-preservation. Wright brings up the example of a sweet tooth or someone that eats a lot of artificial junk food, making us think that the constant eating of sugary and junky foods is good for us while not exactly being good for us. Or maybe experiencing violent rage while driving on the road, where that violent rage feels like it's justified because when thinking about that other person who almost hit your car, it's easy to feel that they deliberately just tried to kill you and that they threatened your life out of ignorance, causing the almost instinctual response of anger. And, you know, we tend to justify that. So in this case, we get angry out of the assumption that the other driver is crazy or ignorant without considering the possibility he just made an innocent mistake or that he's in a rush because of an emergency. Maybe he accidentally told his wife that he wouldn't have married her if she was a caterpillar. Now she wants to burn his fucking house down. We wouldn't know for sure. And lastly, for the third and last reason Robert Wright gives, Wright talks about the happiness delusion. And, you know, it is natural for us to chase feelings of happiness and pleasure. Most of humankind instinctually always looks to feel better. Our attempts, however, tend to result in a false idea of how long that good feeling is going to last. If anything, in our pursuit for better, we could end up even feeling worse or, like, more depressed. Why? Because, you know, we end up clawing for more and we end up feeling unfulfilled, never knowing what we really actually want that's good for us. I mean, why wouldn't you want more? Don't we deserve happiness and pleasure? It's in our human nature to search for comfort, happiness, and pleasure. If I get this thing, I'll be set and happy. If I get that thing, I'll be set and happy. And then we never are. We often mistake it for what is temporary or fleeting. And you know, such is the delusion of acting according to our afflictions, wants, or cravings. So now we see how our afflictions, wants, and cravings often inflict suffering on us by deluding us into thinking we really need to act a certain way, dictated by them. This is obviously not how the Buddha wants us to achieve enlightenment and freedom from such suffering in the cycle of life. Robert Wright, since we're on the topic of freedom, shows how Buddhism, mindfulness, and meditation are the keys to escape from our human nature, are the keys to getting control back when we so obviously don't have it in the face of our feelings. So again, our feelings of anxiety, depression, lust, anger, aggression, and fear, all those things, they are all human. We will feel these things. They should not be suppressed because they can't really be stopped. And if you stop them, it just might make things worse. However, through the Buddhist practice of mindfulness and meditation, it is possible for us to learn how to separate such feelings from ourselves, ceasing to identify with them. And once we do, we are free from their effects, just as we are free to live a much more free and undisturbed life full of control. Know that Buddhism doesn't have to be a strict religion or a super abstract philosophy per se. It's a way of life or a way to approach life. While hard to master the practice of Buddhism, it doesn't have to be so complicated. And as I go through Buddhism on this podcast, we'll discover that together. As the Dalai Lama says, you know, you don't need to use Buddhism to be a better Buddhist. You can use Buddhism to be a better whatever you are. Alright guys, thanks for listening. If you noticed, the podcast took a different turn and I let myself be a little more loose with the jokes and fun because I'm so hip and shit. Yeah, I realize that I've been making things too serious in the podcast, I feel. And I had doubts about, you know, having too much fun with it, with the lessons that I imperfectly try to impart, because I fear it would compromise the meaning of it. But, you know, I sure do enjoy podcasts that I can be more creative and free with when I write the script, so yeah. Anyways, this served as an episode that somewhat tries to establish the foundations of Buddhism and how I plan to tackle it moving forward in this podcast as I continue to create more episodes about Buddhism. So the next 3 or so episodes that will eventually come about Buddhism will probably still be more about foundation building, trying to establish the core tenets of Buddhism before we delve into the Buddhist texts and apply them to real life situations in the present. We'll be talking more about the Four Noble Truths, finding refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Zen Buddhism, including Vipassana and mindfulness meditation. We'll also talk about the somewhat confusing idea of not-self and how the idea of an I is false and how you do not exist. Maybe you are a caterpillar, I don't know. Sounds confusing. Sounds boring for some. But don't worry. I won't disappoint you as much as Game of Thrones Season 8. Okay. Thanks for listening, guys. Have a great week.